Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. This is not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church. This is Jason Troyer. I do the announcements at Denver Bible Church, and with me is Joe Scott.
Hi. I show up on Sunday at Denver Bible Church, and I'm here to help Jason fill in for the infamous and famous Bob Enyart.
So where's Bob at, Joe?
Oh, Bob has a fate worse than all four of his limbs being broken to Bob. He's such an extrovert, and he's not allowed to use his voice for a week. He's ill. And because he's had this reoccurring problem with his voice, they've asked him, the doctors haven't told him he can't speak for a week. I'm betting he can't do it.
Well, he's already cheating a little bit, but we're going to try to fill in on the radio show for him. Now, it's mostly kind of just a flu symptoms, and what they're hoping is that once the congestion leaves his sinuses and things like that, it will also alleviate the stress on his vocal cords, and it should all kind of work its way out. And this happens to Bob about once a year, and it drives him absolutely crazy because he's such an extrovert.
Yeah, but this is the second time in a couple of weeks, so
yeah.
It's been tough.
And it all started before we even went to Little Rock. And so he was saving his voice just for media interviews and things like that in Little Rock. And with Court TV, he was quiet until the Court TV interview happened, and then he used his voice then. But it's always been kind of pestering him, so he went to the doctor and found that out. So we're going to try to fill in and do the best we can here at Bob Enyart Live, and hopefully Bob will get back to health as soon as possible. Now, Joe, did you see the Maureen Dowd article today? I came up with a couple years ago the top 10 reasons why liberals hate the holidays.
Right.
And it was so easy to do because they do hate the holidays. And Maureen Dowd, the title of her piece today is Jingle Bell Schlock. And she's just upset about Christmas caroling, and she said she wants to rip the head off of Frosty the Snowman.
Poor Maureen. She needs to double her dosage of whatever she's taken and take a nap. I mean, my goodness, how can you want to rip the head off of Frosty the Snowman unless there's something gone a little awry?
Yeah, it's the happiest time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And so...
But see,
how can
liberals,
you not like Christmas?
It's easy for liberals not to. There's nothing they can make money off of. There's nothing they can scare the elderly or the poor with. It's a happy time. Nobody's depressed and down. So how can they profit from it?
Yeah, and it goes back to they hate Leave It to Beaver and shows like that. And when you think of Christmas, you think of families coming together, sitting around the Christmas tree and having a good time. And liberals can't stand that. It drives them crazy because the government can't help.
That's right.
The government can't step in. So, well, we had a great time Friday night down at the Parade of Lights downtown in Denver. One of the local churches was excluded from the Christmas parade, so they decided they were going to sing Christmas carols before the parade. And the Enyarts were down there, Cheryl and Bob and the boys, the younger boys, and Grandma Connie and Grandpa Al were down there. I was down there and a few others from Denver Bible Church. And we just had a wonderful time singing carols. Now, Bob's voice was still kind of gone, so he was kind of humming along. But he was down there in support. And I was watching the news later on that night, and as the reporter was giving her report from the scene, they started showing video of the carolers and things like that. And who should be on the screen for about 6 seconds, the first video, was Cheryl Enyart, right there in the smack dab in the middle of the screen with Bob on one side and Connie on the other and two little whippersnappers down at her legs singing carols. So just having a good time. And that right there is Christian activism. When you go out into the world and you proclaim Christianity, that's Christian activism, and it's so easy to do.
I heard, I wasn't able to make it Friday night, but I heard they were passing out hot chocolate, and it was just a really neat time for all the kids. A little overload on the chocolate there, but that you're right, Jason, that is activism. Activism doesn't mean that you have to always be fighting for something right with a protest sign in your hand. Just proclaiming the name of Christ is activism.
And it drives the liberals crazy.
And it's great fellowship. You get to meet new Christians. You get to proclaim the name of Christ. A lot of people on the streets downtown don't know Christ, and we're curious and interested, and you're able to talk to them. That's fabulous.
Now, I didn't necessarily like the parade. I'm a little too old for parades, but the younger NYR boys, they liked the parade. They had a big inflatable snowman and an inflatable dinosaur coming down the street, so they had a good time there.
So for those of you that don't know Jason personally, he's a bit of a curmudgeon.
But I like the holidays.
And I know,
just, you know, parades are, you know, it's a little... I'm a little more mature than that, I hope. So, but that was a great opportunity right there for Christian activism. And one of the things that's frustrating to me as an activist is that more people don't get involved. And so I try to constantly think, why don't they get involved? Is it because they don't see results? Well, that can't be it, because when we talk here on Bob Inyart Live and talk to our friends, we can show results. We can show that going to the abortion clinic at 20th and Vine brings results.
That's
so
right.
How many babies did we have saved at 20th and Vine last year?
Last year was 75. So far this year, 65.
Yeah. So it obviously gets results. So that probably isn't the reason. So I think a lot of times it's the fear of being arrested. They don't want to get arrested, and it's going to be a big problem in their lives. So they don't want to go out and do activism.
Well, that's I think, because we talk about all the things that happen to us. Because telling people what protesting is or activism is, like outside the abortion clinic every day, is nothing happens.
Yeah. So what happened Saturday at the abortion clinic,
Joe? Nothing. I mean, I was there. I talked to people. I was able to educate a couple of people, which is great. But that doesn't make good talk for radio. It's when something exciting happens or something appalling happens. That's what people hear about. And we tend to forget that that might be leading them to believe that that's all that happens.
Yeah.
And that isn't. It really isn't.
Yeah. 80% of activism is boring. 10% of activism is interesting. And 10% of activism is exciting. That's my own personal formula. But I think it holds.
Well, sometimes tedious is a better word. I mean, when you're in 100-degree heat and it's hot and it's miserable and you still got 2 or 3 hours to go, it's a bit tedious. But when you sit down and think about it in the end, and you're holding a child in your hand, or you're discipling someone you led to Christ, or you're like today, I went out to one of the moms that kept her baby, and they're from Africa. She's never didn't know what a turkey was. So I took her out, got her a turkey, and showed her how to bake a turkey in the oven. In fact, by the time the show's over, I'm going to call her because it should be just coming out of the oven.
Now, can you help me? Because I have no idea how to make a turkey either. I'm just a bachelor, so maybe I need a lesson as well.
Bit of a turkey, Jason. But anyway, that's stuff that kind of is sidetracked. But, you know, once you make relationships with people, they don't dissolve the minute you leave the street. It's really a wonderful ministry to be in. Activism is, you're not always on the street with these people. You develop relationships that last a lifetime, you know. And some of my closest friends are people. One of my close friends I spent 8 months in jail with. But
see, you're telling exciting stories again, Joe.
Right. But I mean, now it's 12 years later or 10 years later, and we're still real close friends. And I do activism, and she does a real activism in her church. She gets people to donate to people who are in prison, and that sprung from us being friends, you know. So if anyone would like to call in, the number is 1-800-836-9278.
Great. And one of the things that was so encouraging when we went to Arkansas is I met a few people that had come to Denver before to visit Denver Bible Church. But a lot of the people there, it was their first time doing activism.
Yeah.
And we really needed those people to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Because we had maybe 4 or 5 street preachers from Denver. And Bob was – he didn't have a voice, so he couldn't do much street preaching. But we're kind of – the focus of attention a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
And so more interesting or exciting things happen to us but we can't do it without other people. If there were only four or five people there that were holding up banners that said Clinton raped Juanita, first of all, we wouldn't have been able to hold up as many banners. We wouldn't have been able to pass out as much literature. We wouldn't have been able to do press interviews. And so we would have been forgotten about very easily. But it's
quickly.
Because those families, the moms and the little kids, they showed up and they could pass out literature and they could augment the numbers. That's why we got so much press as we did. We're walking down the street. Everybody knows who ShadowGov.com is and what we're saying. And it's because of those people that don't – they're not street preachers at heart. But they're willing to come out and give of their time and give up some of their vacation time to go to Little Rock, Arkansas – and proclaim the difference between right and wrong. And it was so encouraging to see that.
Well, Jason, think about it. With ALF, the environmentalist group, and PETA, us, and all the World Bank people, that protesting is pretty much a pastime in this country. And if you take all of those groups and pull us out of it, I think police in towns are relieved when it's us coming, because they know every place we go, we'll leave it the way we found it or better.
Yeah.
And we are not going to be aggressive with the police at all. We're going to follow the rules to the best of our ability. Just when the police are going to tell us that something like we have to move across the street when we don't really have to move across the street, they're just bullying. Everybody else goes across the street. Mm-hmm. And the seasoned protesters will deal with the police in a manner that's polite and kind and sometimes a little difficult. But that isn't the everyday activist. Yeah. We don't expect anyone to do that.
Now there's a lady who's retired now named Audrey, and she comes down to 20th and Vine all the time. She's been going at least once a week for 15 years now. She's never been arrested.
And never will be. She doesn't want to be.
Yeah. So there's so much you can do as an activist without it completely rearranging your life. But if you can give 2 hours a week, and especially now around the holiday season, a lot of our regulars at 20th and Vine, they're out Christmas shopping. They're out doing other things, so they can't come down as they normally would. So now is a perfect opportunity for new people to come down to 20th and Vine Saturday mornings, 8 o'clock, and spend a couple hours. There's virtually no risk of arrest at all. You stand around and you chit-chat with Joe Scott, Jason Troyer, and other pro-lifers. I had a few conversations Saturday because really nothing happened. The women go in, and we try to talk to them, and the sidewalk counselors who know what they're doing, have been doing this for years, they'll go and talk to them, and those who aren't as sure about what they're doing, they just stand around, and maybe they'll say a prayer or something like that, but it's encouraging to the street preachers and the sidewalk counselors, it's encouraging to have more people there. If there were 100 people there at 20th and Vine, that would be so thrilling for us, and it would embolden us. And maybe it might stop a mom from going in because she sees so many people there. She doesn't really know what's going on, and she might have a bit of hesitation. And we'll use that hesitation to have an opportunity to talk to her.
Well, one of the things that the large group of protesters does is it confuses the people going into the clinic. They don't know how to get in. For some reason, they're confused. It may be fear kicks in, and they don't know which driveway to go in, so they park out on the street, which is a godsend for me because I have more time to talk to the girl, and it's much easier to save a child that way and a mom that way. You know?
And while we were in Arkansas, because we had the 30 people, we went to an abortion clinic there in Arkansas, the only freestanding abortion clinic in the state, and it's in a business complex type of community, and the people that we talked to there in the businesses had no idea there was an abortion clinic in their neighborhood. It's just another building in the neighborhood, and nobody paid it any attention. From what we saw while we were in Arkansas, there's one pro-life guy who is out there, but he can't really make a scene. He's just one person. But with 30 people, we had those people spaced out on corners and things like that. It made a scene. And people in their offices looked out, and they said, what are those people doing there? And so there were people out on a smoke break, and I was walking down the street. And I always want to spur conversation. Apathy is the worst thing in the world for me. So they're out there on their smoke break, and I'm walking down the street. And I say, it's a beautiful morning to save a baby, isn't it? And they say, yeah, it is. And so they knew exactly why we were there. And if they had any questions, I started the conversation. They were willing to, if they wanted to, they could ask questions. about the abortion clinic or abortion in general, but I can't, you know, I don't want to force them to get into a heated debate. I just want to say this is, you know, this is why we're here. And we're here to save babies. And the pictures speak for themselves.
Right. And pass out our literature. A lot of times it's just a good time to educate. I know I had quite a bit of time with a woman over a fence at one of the businesses where I could just educate her about what was going on. She had lots of questions, which was great.
And those are the things that you can do because you have so many people. You can kind of break away from the group and talk to someone because you know other people are there that can
Well, you know, one of the problems we had this year is Ken and I have been out of the state so much that there haven't been a whole lot of people to take our place while we're gone. And that's why the number of babies is down this year, because we just haven't been here. It'd be great. Now we're going to be here at least until February. It'd be great to have new people out there that we could train to fill in for us when we're not there. And by filling in, I don't mean deal with the police.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I just mean talk to the girls, you know.
So Planned Parenthood in Denver is a wonderful opportunity to start activism there. If you've never done any activism, that's a great place to start. The rules are pretty much set in stone. Everybody knows what the rules are. Nobody's going to get in trouble if they don't want to get in trouble. And I don't want to get in trouble. So everybody knows the rules.
And if somebody shows up that feels like they're a wise guy and wants to get in trouble, that ends real quick too.
Yeah.
You know, we get rid of them.
Yeah.
So
and it's amazing what you can do with only a few people. We talked to the survivors out in California, Keith Mason, and he took only a handful of people up to Modesto, California to pass out the Scott Peterson pamphlets. And just with that few amount of people willing to do a little bit of activism, handing out pamphlets to the press, really, then those people got national, got the nation talking about the death penalty.
That's
Bob
right.
was on Court TV and talked for 7 minutes, which you can get at kgov.com. You can listen to that interview and you can hear what the New Testament support for the death penalty is. And not only the
there was
on
no
TV,
they didn't carry any signs. All they did was hand out literature. That was it.
Yeah,
so
it's easy to be an activist, and it's great to do that because it gets results, and activism works when tried. We talked Friday on the show about John Hickenlooper, the mayor of Denver, taking down the Merry Christmas sign and putting up the Happy
That's
Holiday
right.
sign. Activist just called in on the phone, and the mayor's office got so many calls, he decided not to do it. Activism works when it's tried. And so we want to encourage you to become an activist, to do something. You don't have to radically change your life, but maybe once every month, spend 2 hours at 20th and Vine in Denver. Or if you live somewhere across the country, you can open up the phone book to abortion and you can find your local abortion clinic. And you look under abortion alternatives and you can probably find a crisis pregnancy center near to the abortion clinic. And maybe you call the crisis pregnancy center and say, is there people that do sidewalk counseling at the abortion clinic? Or maybe you just show up on a Saturday morning at the abortion clinic and drive around and see if there's people out there and introduce yourself. It's an incredible encouragement to us when new people show up at 20th and Vine here in Denver and say, yeah, I'm new. I just wanted to come out and see what's going on. And in fact, Redeemer Temple, who's going to host the Operation Save America event coming up in July of next year, they're having more and more people show up. And it's an encouraging thing because their church is now getting excited about this event that's coming up and they want to get involved. And it's thrilling. And these people, I talked to an older couple, a retired couple, I believe it was 2 weekends ago. This is the first time they ever done activism, and I just talked to them. But it was encouraging to see new people out there.
Yes.
They didn't have to be an expert in embryology and understand the development of the baby and be able to articulate that to every mother going in.
No, but we do have materials there that they can look through and read and learn things. Maybe we should go to the phones.
Sure. Why don't you go ahead and hit line two from Colorado Springs, Colorado. Torch, speak your mind.
Hey, how you doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. Bob's a little under the weather, so we're filling in, but we're doing all right.
Okay, we is who?
I'm Jason Troyer, and this and Joe Scott is here as well.
Okay, my pleasure, guys. I really like Bob's format. You know, he's kind of like in the face type sort of a guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that he does it with love. You know,
absolutely.
I think he has a good a good reason for getting in people's faces. I called just before y'all went down to Oklahoma for the Clinton Library opener.
Yeah, actually went to Arkansas, in Little Rock, Arkansas.
Oh, excuse
for the library.
Me. I can't remember, you know, so I try to forget as much about the Clinton people as I can, you know.
That's a good rule of thumb.
I try not to remember them too much.
Yeah.
But anyway, I kind of like you guys, what you do, and he sent me some information here. I've got your catalog and stuff. And
oh, great.
Great.
Anyway, what I called about today was, when I first heard Bob, he was talking about some judge nominees that President Bush had appointed who were abortion judges.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Pro-abortion, yeah.
And right, exactly, pro-abortion. And I never did ask him if he had a list of those pro-abortion appointees. I would like to stay up on this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if there's any way I could get some kind of information on it, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, while George Bush was the governor of Texas, he appointed, uh-huh. I believe, 4 of the 9 Texas Supreme Court judges. And it was that.
Oh, it was a Texas thing.
Texas,
yeah.
Yes. He hasn't
had the opportunity to appoint a United States Supreme Court justice yet. He probably will get the opportunity, and it's going to be a very interesting time when he makes that nomination, but
yeah.
In Texas, he has a track record. And so we can look at the people he's appointed, and you can find all this online, who uh-huh. he appointed and where they stand. And it was the Texas Supreme Court that said children don't have to even notify their parents before they have a surgical procedure because it was an abortion.
They did that in California just the other day.
Right.
Yeah, and judges are having a big problem with the law, so
but
they kind of make their own law.
Every judge that he appointed was a pro-abort in Texas, and he's destroyed that Supreme Court in Texas for a generation.
Yeah.
Right.
And so we're shaking in our boots because he's going to have the opportunity to appoint judges to the United States Supreme Court.
That's right.
And, you know, what was great was the evangelicals – they thought Bush was their man, and so they elected him, and it was because of the evangelicals that Bush got elected. And when Arlen Specter came out and said that he's not going to allow a pro-lifer or an anti-abortionist on the Supreme Court, he made some kind of comment to that effect.
And he's sort of rescinded since then.
Yes exactly. Because
we're just
of
watching
activists.
Real close.
Because people called in and they threw a fit. And that was an excellent sign to George Bush to say, if you don't appoint, you know, the appointment is all up to him. Now, whether they get through the confirmation process, that's up to other people. But he is the one that appoints them. So if he appoints a pro-abort and doesn't even want to put up a fight, that tells you about that man. And that's what he did in Texas. So unfortunately, you know, as conservative Christians, we're kind of scared that he's going to do the same thing again because we believe his actions more than his words. His words say he's pro-life, but his actions speak differently than that.
Don't you agree that he's had a born-again experience since Texas?
Oh, absolutely.
Since Texas?
Well,
I don't know.
I think he's absolutely a Christian. But
late in life.
The state,
you know, he was a late in life, a late bloomer like myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But I don't think there's any doubt that he's a Christian, but the Christian community is confused. They don't understand the Bible, and so, you know, one of the reasons that we do this show is to offer biblical reasons for contemporary issues. You know, God, the death penalty, Pat Robertson, he couldn't defend the death penalty until we sent him, you know, a bunch of people sent him God and the death penalty, the New Testament support for the death penalty.
Yes,
now,
sir,
is the leader of the 700 Club, is he a Christian? Absolutely. But he was confused about contemporary issues, and the death penalty is one. And so hopefully this show and this ministry can help that. Now, we might be able to get a video to George Bush. That might be a little harder, but
well, we here at Bob Benyart Live, we have a little saying that bad theology kills, and it most definitely does. And
for sure, yeah.
And we just would really like to be able to get things to the president right now, but I doubt that anything we sent him would get through to him.
Well, I kind of like the whole Council of God. I am a Calvary Chapel attendee.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I really like, you know, to stay in the grid of the word when it comes to even politics, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Now,
yeah,
you guys are not anti-Bush, are you?
Well, I didn't vote for Bush.
I didn't either.
Did you vote for the freelance guys?
The third party, I voted for Michael Peruca, the U.S. Constitution Party, just because what Bush says and what Bush does, I think, differ. And so there's, you know, that's a big can of worms to open up to say, should we vote Republican or should we vote third party?
Well, but California voted Republican for Arnold Schwarzenegger, and look what he did.
Yeah. Exactly.
$3 billion worth of embryonic stem cells, babies being killed for stem cells.
Oh, but he lets them say Merry Christmas again.
Oh, what a guy.
What a guy. Huh? I'm telling you. This
trip. Well, Torch, thanks for the call, all right? You have a good day.
Well, I'll do that, and you all do the same.
All right.
Thank you.
Now, even though I don't like George W. Bush particularly, I didn't vote for him, we do have the opportunity to affect what he does. And that's what was so powerful with the Arlen Specter issue. The evangelicals rose up, even those that didn't vote for Bush, even though the vast majority did, but they showed that they are watching the process, and that is fantastic. So we're talking about activism today and what you can do to be an active member in the Christian community. We don't want you to be a pew potato. We want you to get out and do something. We want you to get the salt needs to get out of the salt shaker.
I've always looked at the liberals. They're not led by Christ, those that are not saved. They're not led by Christ. They're deceived by Satan and worldly powers, and they are driven to do what they're doing. We who are saved can get real comfortable because no one's deceiving us and no one's driving us. God gives us a choice, and we get to go out and be activists if we love him, if we care, and if we want to promote his word and his laws and his way of life. But it's not something that we're driven to do, where I see the other side driven to do things that are not so good for all of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to become an activist, you want to start doing activism, like I said before, 20th and Vine is the place to go if you're in Denver. Colorado Springs has a Planned Parenthood if you're living down in the Springs.
And contact Mike Gamble down there. He'll be glad to help you.
There's a presence down there. So Saturday morning, what time would they show up in Colorado Springs?
7:30.
7:30. You can look it up in the phone book and look under abortion. You can find out where you can go in the Springs. And pretty much anywhere in the country, you open up the yellow pages and you can find abortion. And Saturday morning, there's usually a presence down at the local abortion
clinic. And I'll be in Colorado Springs at 7:30 Wednesday morning at one of the schools down there because of activism in Colorado Springs, they're deciding Wednesday night as to whether or not they're going to throw Planned Parenthood out of the school systems in Colorado Springs. So we're going to be there. I wish I knew the name of the school. I've forgotten it at this point. But we'll be in Colorado Springs. Contact KGov. I'll have the name if you want to come and join us. We'll be there all day Wednesday at a school in Colorado Springs.
Wow, and that's fantastic. And speaking of schools, Zachary just made it down to the underground bunker here in the foothills of the Rocky Mountains. And Zachary, which is Bob's oldest of the youngest three, if that's how you can say it, he goes to Maranatha Christian Center. And Maranatha Christian Center is just a wonderful place for ages 2.5 to 12th grade. They have a Christ-centered campus there, a Christ-centered curriculum. And I went and saw a presentation by Answers in Genesis at their gymnasium there. Just had a wonderful time. So if you'd like more information and see if that school is a place that you want to send your child, you can give them a call at 303-431-5653, and they'd be happy to talk to you about that. So, Joe, it was a pleasure to talk to you. And we hope that we can spur activism. In Denver, Christmas Day, the holiday abortionist home visit, join us.